Hi everyone, this is Chandler Frazier-Pauls, and we may have officially wrapped up the 2023-2024 school year this week, but before we go, we want to give you one more Admission Insight episode. Today, we're catching up with college counseling. Take a listen as our Director of Admission and Financial Aid, Sharon Jarbo, has an upbeat and informative conversation with our Director of College Counseling, Adam Adorasso, about all the happenings in the college counseling office. We'll see you in the fall, but until then, let's go!
So you say you want to apply to private school. We're gonna show you what to do. Walk through the steps to take, and everything's gonna turn out great. We're gonna find the right fit, both for you and for your kids, based off school culture and needs. We're gonna bolster your chances.
Hello everyone, and this is Sharon Jarbo speaking to you from the Pennington School. I am fortunate enough to be Director of Admission and Financial Aid, and I just have to say it's good to be back on Admission Insight. I am back with one of my favorite colleagues and professional friends, Adam Adorasso, who is our Director of College Counseling. So Adam, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. It's been a while.
We recorded together in the fall, so you had a long year in between, right?
A great year. It went really fast, too.
How many students did you place this year?
104 students in the class of 2024.
And that was divided between your team of four?
Correct. So yeah. A nice, intimate caseload allowed us a lot of face time with our students and with their parents. And so many success stories. So we're really, really proud of the class of 2024. We miss them already, even though they just graduated a couple of days ago. But they were an incredible class. It's so much to celebrate.
I agree. Just looking at the list, I think everyone is so impressed with the diversity of schools on the list. Things as different as the art school at Wash U to military appointments, small liberal arts schools, big state schools, Ivy League. It really speaks to a sense of fit for a diverse range of students. What did your team feel about that?
I agree. I think that one of the things that makes Pennington special is that we serve our students across the spectrum and really, really get to know them and help them find places that are the next logical sort of best step in their educational journey. So when I, as a director of college counseling, look at the matriculation list in its entirety, it really represents the sort of unique talent and ability of the students we have here at the Pennington School. And we're so proud of all of our students, not just the ones who are matriculating at places that have admit rates of less than 10%, you know, of which there are many on our list, but students who have really, really sort of reflected deeply to find the places that they are excited to be joining in the fall.
What are some of those less known places that found great fits for our students this year and that are just impressing you with the work that you do that maybe people haven't heard of as much?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting as somebody who, you know, oftentimes folks answer that question with places that maybe have higher admit rates. And when you learn more about those schools, so places like Ursinus College or Bard College, you learn that they are a place that has somewhat of a self-selecting pool of applicants, and that might lead to admit rates that are higher because students who find them realize that they have a connection to that institution and oftentimes are really highly qualified. You know, so places like Bard and Hampshire and Ursinus, for example, are three smaller liberal arts schools that really do a great job of allowing students so much flexibility and autonomy in creating their own experiences. So those are three places that come to mind. And they do an incredible job of preparing students for the next chapter. So a school like Ursinus, like their nickname is Ursience. They have one of the best, if not the best, pre-med advising program in the nation, and their admit rate to medical school each year is close to 100%.
Wow.
So when you look at Ursinus as an institution and learn that its admit rate is over 50%, you're not necessarily thinking that life after Ursinus is going to be at an incredible medical school, right? And then you sort of dig deeper and realize, wow, this is a place that really helps students reach their goals and dreams.
I think this is the kind of more insider information that is so empowering to families to know that there are just so many great choices out there. Stepping back, we talked in the fall about general trends that you were seeing in college admission, that things were just going to become more highly selective at the most selective schools, that the test optional craze is here to stay and was driving some of that volume, increased volume to the most selective institutions. Did all of that play out as you predicted?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that the one thing we talked about was sort of prioritizing applying early to an institution, especially if early decision was something that you were ready, a student was ready to commit to. And I think that more and more places that used to maybe fill a third of their class through early decision are filling upwards of 60% of the class through early decision and may have introduced a second round of early decision called early decision two. So we definitely saw a trend where the admit rates in early decision were significantly higher than the admit rate in regular decision at many of the schools that our students consider. So regular decision is almost a non-existent way of gaining entrance to a school at a highly selective place, because from a strategic standpoint, college admissions deans are filling 60% of the class through a much smaller applicant pool, and then have all of these thousands of applications to review in regular decision with a fraction of the class remaining. So that was definitely one thing that we saw. The other thing I would say is the test optional piece. I think that there's sort of polarizing views on the SAT and the ACT. The SAT just unveiled an adaptive digital exam that started in the spring. And as of, you know, in recent months, places have announced that they're going back to requiring the SAT. And then there's other places that have said that we're permanently adopting a test optional policy. So I think that the Pennington way has always been to expose our students to the PSAT and the pre-ACT in 10th grade, see how they do on that, encourage them if they want to start preparing for it, seeing kind of where their final super score lands and whether that's going to help them or not when it comes to applying to an institution. The other thing we've seen an increase, something that we predicted, is that interest in pre-professional programs. I think that, you know, families are thinking more about return on investment and are caring more about life after college and want students to have more of a plan of action before they graduate, as opposed to that mentality of just go and do what you want to do and we'll figure it out in 4 years. And I think part of that has to do with the rising cost of education. And, you know, just wanting to make sure that their, you know, child isn't floundering in the spring of their senior year, wondering what next steps might be.
That makes a lot of sense. So in response to these trends, especially the early decision, are you seeing increasing percentage of our seniors applying early compared to previous years?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Pennington has always equipped its students with what they need before the earliest deadlines. So I think that our kids are in really good shape to submit early applications early in the fall of their senior year. And part of that is how our program is designed and the fact that they all take a seminar in junior year, which essentially gets their common application in good shape. They leave the summer with, you know, a college essay with feedback from the English department and their college counselors. And our feeling is if a school offers early and there's different forms of early, why not try for it? So this past year, I'd say close to 100% of the class submitted at least one early application. and, you know, over 80% of them had at least one acceptance before the winter holiday break, which was great. The early decision piece is a little bit trickier because you don't have the opportunity to shop around for sort of best financial aid package. So it's a great strategy in that it might better your chances of being admitted, but it really is ideal for families who feel confident about the financial part of affording a college tuition and don't need to explore sort of the different packages between the schools that their child has applied to. So we've always seen, you know, probably close to about, you know, 30 to 40% of the class who are applying early decision, you know, and many of them receive great news and are done with their whole process in the middle of December. But then we also serve families who, you know, care deeply about making sure that there's the financial fit, who can't commit to early decision, who will still apply early action or priority deadlines, rolling admission here sooner, but then wait to see.
So what is that timeline for early action from a decision through the financial understanding what the offers are?
So typically, like, the earliest deadlines are November 1st. There are a few schools in the South, because schools start earlier in the South, that have October 15th deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
And then notification, you know, in the olden days was before, you know, the new year, so mid to late December. But I think that many institutions have pushed those deadlines back to closer to February 1st because the volume of applicants that they've received has increased and they need more time to review their application. So while there are some schools that notify before January 1st, you know, many of them wait until closer to February 1st. And then that sort of national reply date is typically May 1st. Now this year, and we could talk about that in a little bit, that enrollment date was extended to May 15th and in some cases to June 1st because of the FAFSA, which is the free application for federal student aid, being redesigned and not being available to kids as early as it usually is. So normally, you know, you're hearing from schools up until April 1st and typically have until May 1st to make that decision as to whether you want to pick them or not.
So I know there was a lot of stress among families this year, because not just at Pennington, but across the country because of the FAFSA delays. Do you predict, have you heard any scoop on whether they're going to be back on track next year, or is that too optimistic?
Yeah, I think that seems a little bit ambitious. I don't think it's going to be as early as it was prior to this redesign, because I think they're still trying to work out the kinks of the new application. The great news is the new FAFSA is so much easier to complete. It's more on the processing end and getting it to the schools where kids are sending it that has been delayed. So our hope is that that does improve, because, you know, students might get the yes on January 30th that they've been admitted to one of their first choice schools, but may not hear back about financial aid information until the spring. So you can't get excited about a place until you realize it's affordable. And I think what was happening in some cases is, you know, the financial aid package was coming 3 days before the decision date for when students had to decide if they wanted to come. Now, they obviously extended those deadlines, but it still led to families feeling anxious because they didn't know if it was going to be a feasible option for their child. And the last thing they want to do is pick a place where they don't know what their financial aid package is going to look like.
Sure. That's important. And then I just wanted to circle back. In the fall, you spoke about the importance of student learning how to tell their story and identifying their passions and creating consistent threads of their passions throughout their high school career. And that's just such a great skill to have in life, to know what your passions are and how to be able to express them to the world and draw them through your life. So could you talk a little bit about, like, was that the fun part of your job, basically helping students with that storytelling and that passion development?
For sure. And I feel like year two here at the Pennington School made that easier, because the relationship with my students spanned more time and gave us more time to sort of work on crafting that story. So I think that, you know, as time progresses, given that our students are assigned a college counselor at the end of their ninth grade year, it gives us a lot of time together. And I think that some of our families have been incredibly proactive and have said, hey, you know, my child is joining the upper school in the fall, you know, can we have a chat before then, just to have, you know, an understanding of what the next 4 years are going to look like. So we've been, you know, scheduling those meetings as well. And I think the most important part, I always say to our students, like, when you talk about something that you're doing, whether that's a class you're taking or an extracurricular activity that you're part of here at Pennington or in your local community, I want you to light up when you talk about it. And if you can't light up about it, then we need to go back to the drawing board and think about what we could replace that activity with. You know, I always say to our students, don't do it because I'm asking you to do it, you know, or because your parents are requiring you to do it. Do it because you look forward to it. And I think that that's, you know, I'm proud to say that our students are excited about the things that they do. And I would much rather them do two or three things that they're passionate about at a deeper level than seven things haphazardly. And I think that our students are really intentional. Sometimes it takes trying things, and we're okay with that. I think high school is about trying things and, you know, being exposed to as many opportunities as possible. I don't think a college expects a student to be decided on their pathway and their interests in ninth grade. But that key is passion, excitement, enthusiasm. You know, and then, you know, as I was sitting through the Horizons presentations that our seniors gave last week, you know, on their, you know, internship or experience that they culminated their career with, I was really, really impressed with the passion, you know, that they exhibited, you know, while speaking about the opportunities that they had. So yeah, it's been really fulfilling. And, you know, I think sometimes students struggle with making connections between what they do and what they want to do. So I think that part of our job as their college counselors are to really help them understand that there actually is a connection between those two things, even if it doesn't seem direct.
Yeah, I'm going to link the class of 2024's college matriculation list with this podcast, and I think everyone who's listening is going to be impressed and easily appreciate the breadth and depth of placements, because that does speak to that sense of fit. But what a straight up list can never speak to are those stories of passion and individual growth. And, you know, just listeners, when you do see that list, know that every single college you're looking at is a whole story of personal growth, identification of passion. It represents a whole high school career.
For sure, for sure. And I think, you know, I could think of so many different examples of students who, you know, were able to articulate the things that they liked about their Pennington experience, the things they wanted in the sort of next chapter of their educational journey, and looking to find places that sort of married those two sort of lists of wants and needs. Mm-hmm. And I think our students are courageous and willing to explore sort of outside the box, and I appreciate that so much. You know, so when I think about the student that loves learning about other cultures and loves travel experiences, both that they've done with their family and through our school, you know, and thinks about wanting to have a career that requires them to travel, you know, throughout the world, you know, saying to that student, hey, have you ever thought about exploring college outside of the United States? And then introducing them, you know, to the University of St. Andrews in Scotland, and then seeing them come full circle and choosing St. Andrews as their college destination, it feels really, really good, you know, because, you know, as I'm sitting through presentations at St. Andrews when I had the opportunity to visit them last year, and hearing from a second year student that in their first year they visited, you know, 30 different places outside of Scotland over the weekends and breaks was amazing. So I think that our kids are willing to sort of explore beyond, you know, the same 20 schools that seem to be hot places in this area, which I like a lot.
Something I really appreciate about the work that you and your team are doing with our students is that people think of college preparatory schools that our outcome is the college list. And the way that you approach it with these students, they're learning something that's even bigger than their college. These are skills and mindsets that are going to serve them so well in life at their undergraduate college careers and beyond. So thank you for all of that.
Oh, thanks. No, and I think we care a lot about their preparation and wanting them to be successful at the institution that they choose, you know, and we're not afraid to push back and say, hey, I know that you're getting excited about this institution, but I know that this aspect of Pennington has really served you well. And I'm concerned that this aspect may be missing at the school that you're hyper focusing on. So can we think about that a little bit? Can you do me a favor and explore these three places? Because I think that they might offer you what you like about the school that you're currently excited about and what you need based on the success that you've had here at Pennington. And oftentimes, you know, kids come back and say, you're absolutely right. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because had I picked that first school, I may have, you know, been back in your office after a semester there realizing that it isn't the best fit for me. So I think that's one of the beauties of being part of a small community, where you really get to know your students, get to see them in action, get to interact with them, you know, not just when they come into your space, but when you see them on campus or bump into them in one of the residence hall lounges or after a home game or at the conclusion of a coffee house where they just performed for the crowd.
Amazing. So this fall, you start year three. You mm-hmm. already have a crop of juniors who just probably completed their seminar with your team. And so what lies ahead? What are you excited about for the class of 2025?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that you know, there's a lot of things in the works. We are unveiling or bringing back Career Day, which has a date for late January of 2025.
Yay!
Again, just to help with that career explorations piece, which I think is something that we don't do enough of in a college prep environment. So that's on the horizon. We just got approval for a college trip. We're actually going to North and South Carolina in June, right after the school year ends next year. And that'll be a trip that'll be offered to sophomores and juniors. And it's going to be, you know, part college visit, part sort of cultural exploration of the areas. We hope to do some interactive sessions led by folks at the colleges that we see. I think many of our kids and families are saying, hey, you know, visiting is hard, you know, especially our boarding population. It's hard to get to see schools. So we decided to introduce this week-long experience for our students to visit a sort of variety of schools. So even if a student is like, hey, I'm not thinking that geographic reason, you know, region, they're still going to be exposed to a bunch of places, have those schools in common with us as their college counselors, and from there we could help build an even better list for them. So those are two things that come to mind. I mean, I think we're constantly thinking about, you know, different programming that best serves the needs of our students. I think we're going to do a little bit more targeted programming on educating the students about exploring colleges beyond the U.S., so with some programming on that. We're also looking at sort of just like a welcome back, like boot camp, you know, right at the start of preseason, you know, before the school year starts officially, where kids have access to us. We'll probably have some colleagues from, you know, nearby college and universities available to also offer students feedback on essays, you know, maybe more of the supplemental essays that kids will be working on by then. So those are things that come to mind as changes for 2024. And then I think too, you know, I'm constantly thinking about, you know, how to make our program even stronger. So I'm sure there'll be more things that we look to implement and change come fall.
I love these new initiatives. I love the energy that's behind it and the intentionality and how thorough and thoughtful the whole process is. So thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
And maybe in the fall, you'd mentioned having a guest from higher ed on the podcast, and maybe we'll aim for the fall for another session. So if you're listening, stay tuned for more good stuff.
Sounds great. Thank you.